Getting proper mental health care can help you feel more like you. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, insomnia, relationship issues, workplace stress, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can use your FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Yeah. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter and to your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of the Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, I'm Dave. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we used to walk home from the movies, and now we just walk home from our own home after having watched a movie in our home. Clear premise, right?
Extremely clear, award-winning premise.
Yeah. So, today we're going to watch another Christmas movie, because we seem to have an abundance of them.
Well, this is a movie that I think would have actually gone in the cinemas, if there were cinemas.
Remind me what a cinema is.
And it's The Happiest Season, which is starring Kristen Stewart, who we all know, of course.
From Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
And from Twilight. She's not an actress I've seen in a long time, actually. Anyway, she's the star of this Christmas movie, and I don't know much about it. I know the vague plot of it. Do you know, Dave?
I know nothing. What is this? Why am I here? What? I literally never heard of this movie before. I didn't even know Kristen Stewart was in it till you just said it. You said, let's watch this movie.
Well, because it's an actual big release that people are talking about.
Okay.
It's got really bad title.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Loads of people have been talking about it. It's got a bad title, Happiest Season. It's possibly one of the worst movie titles I've ever heard. As we were leaving the house to record this, we kept going, wait, what's the name again?
But we haven't watched the movie yet. Maybe at the end, it's like, they all say something like, and it was the happiest season. And it'll slot perfectly into the theme of everything we've watched.
It may slot
and
into...
It
may slot into the theme, but it's not a memorable name.
Kathy, maybe the happiest season was inside us all along.
Maybe. Anyway, I'm excited to watch a new movie, frankly.
That's how low our bar is. Hey, I'll watch a new movie. Do you have any new movies?
I won't tell you the plot then if you don't know it. We will be back in a brief few moments for you lot, but probably tomorrow for us talk about... Well, what do you want to say? I don't know anything about it. You don't want me to tell you the plot, and you've never heard of it before.
Let's just hang out for a while. How are you? How have you been?
We
never talk anymore on the podcast.
Have you been?
Thousands and thousands of people.
How's 2020 been for you?
Yeah, it's been tough. Thanks for asking. I hate when people say that now. There's a new thing now when you meet someone you haven't seen in a while and someone asks you.
You meet people? Yeah, do you mean on Zoom?
Over the internet or whatever. And they're like, oh my God, how's your lockdown been? And I'm like, I don't want to.
Well, it used to be fine because it was like, the course of a few weeks and you could kind of speak to them. Whereas now it's like, what, the last 9 months of my life?
Yeah, how have your last 9 months of your life been?
They've been truly the most magnificent months of my life. Okay, let's go and experience this most happiest of season together.
I can't wait. Let's
do
it.
But we do have our Christmas tree up, so I'm genuinely into watching a festive movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right. Come on, let's do it.
I'm so excited. I can't believe I'm finally going to meet everyone.
There's something that we should talk about. I didn't tell my parents I'm gay. So who do they think I am?
This is Harper's orphan friend, Abby.
Yes, of course. They're there.
You're so brave. You don't need to be.
I cannot believe I've got all my daughters under one roof.
So her parents believe their straight daughter brought home her lesbian friend for Christmas?
Not exactly. They also think that I'm straight.
Have they ever met a lesbian?
This is why I avoid Christmas. It brings out the worst in everything.
I've always skated circles around you.
I love it when they do this.
You're such a cheater!
Makes it so fun.
No, Riley!
Just be yourself. But don't lie. You're a very bad liar.
Riley!
Harper.
This is Abby. Abby is my orphan. Roommate. I am an orphan, but we live together. As friends. Like acquaintances.
Oh, please stop.
Yeah.
Bells ring out on the...
I can relate to being in love with somebody that is too afraid to show the world who they are.
What are you doing in the closet?
I'm here to rescue you.
Are you the ex-boyfriend?
Yes, I am very sexually attracted to her. A female.
I nailed that, and she is fabulous.
Scared that if I tell them who I really am, I will lose them.
Do you know how painful it's been to watch the person that I love hide me?
I am not hiding you. I am hiding me.
Everybody's story is different. Just because Harper isn't ready doesn't mean she doesn't love you.
Hi, we're back. We watched the movie called The How... What was it called?
It's called Happiest Season.
Happiest Season. Let's give you... Okay, so if you're first new to this podcast, welcome. Hello.
This is not what the podcast should be.
New listeners, sorry. Yeah, normally there's cinemas open and we walk home from them. Now we're just out walking around after watching a movie, but whatever. We won't spoil this movie yet. We'll have a spoiler street section later, but give you a very quick synopsis as to what it's about now, because I can do that now that I've seen it. I know what it's about. So the movie is about a lesbian couple played by Kristen Stewart and Mackenzie Davis, who is awesome. I didn't know she was in this.
Who you may know from San Junipero, that awesome Black Mirror episode.
Yes. And Halt and Catch Fire and Terminator Salvation.
Oh, yes!
Last year, right?
I forgot she was
she's
in that. Yeah,
in
she's
that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Really great actress. And they are a... basically, we learn at the very beginning that Kristen Stewart... her parents died tragically when she was young, and she has no family to go back to for Christmas. And they're a relatively new relationship, but deeply in love. And Mackenzie Davis invites her back to Harper, is her character's name, to her family's home for Christmas, and is very excited about it. But we learn that she has not actually told her parents that she has come out yet, and so
She's not come out to her parents.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's probably a better way of putting it. That's the premise.
Hilarity ensues.
The premise of the movie is basically, as Kristen Stewart's character puts it at one stage, she's been put back into the closet, by her partner, in this very uncomfortable sort of meet the parents type scenario.
It's actually a really good scenario for a Christmas
movie. It is, to be fair.
It's also extremely common. In a mainstream big movie like this, to even have the central characters be gay, like, let's acknowledge it. It's always generally like very much heterosexual couples at the fore, and like maybe some gay characters like in the fringes.
Yeah.
So I really like that they were the central characters. I find it like a funny central premise. We laughed a lot, didn't we, watching it? Like, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
I thought this was a really good movie.
There's a lot of Christmas movies that I've watched over the years, like I often watch, like on Netflix or Lifetime movies or whatever. I'll watch a couple of made for TV Christmas movies a year that are some family situation. They always involve something to do with people going home to their parents and some secret coming out, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And this is like up there is one of the best ones I've seen of that genre, call it.
It's got familiar, it's kind of a familiar setting in a way with like twists. So yeah, we've never kind of seen this with a central gay couple.
And a really good character, like cast. Like the other guy, the guy that was brilliant in it is the son from Schitt's Creek.
What's Dan Levy.
Again? He's so funny.
Yeah, he was excellent. Yeah, so there's a whole, we'll just list off some of them. He's very good as the friend. The parents are Mary Steenburgen, who's awesome. I haven't seen her in ages.
Yeah, same.
And Victor Garber is the guy's name, who's a very common sort of character.
He's the captain from Titanic. Let's call it space.
Yeah, the captain from Titanic.
It's like, oh, it's the captain from Titanic. The guy who didn't have enough lifeboats.
And Jennifer Garner's... Yeah, you're still holding him accountable for that?
100% holding him accountable for that. And I will never forgive him.
Jack died because of you, Victor Garber. And they're the parents. There's three sisters. Mackenzie Davis, who plays Harper. We've got Alison Brie.
Dave, just because you've got the IMDb page does not mean you need to read it at all.
Excuse me. This is all from memory. I'm just actually just checking my texts at the same time. Alison Brie showing up in a quite a plain against type, I would say. She's often... She's the comedic, quirky...
Yeah, she was against type.
...character.
She's kind of the mean older sister who kind of contributes to the sense of pressure on Harper to feel like she has to stay in the closet because there's this, like, perception of what the family believes to be.
Yeah, they're it's the competitive sibling rivalry thing. And she plays it really... I thought she was excellent in this.
They were really good.
But really, the person...
Stop reading the IMDb.
The person who stole the show was Mary Holland, who plays Jane, the sort of black sheep sister... Who is kind of the butt of everyone's jokes, and I thought she was absolutely hilarious. She gets most of the gags.
She was really good. Well, that's because she's the co-writer, isn't she?
Yeah, she's
a clever co-writer. Gives themselves the gags.
She's the co-writer along with. But I'm just so IMDb today.
You are
along
Mr.
with Clea Duvall, who wrote and directed this. Who you might recognize. I didn't recognize her name, but she's an actress as well. Who was most recently I recognized her from Veep. She played. The bodyguard, who I won't spoil where that plot goes.
But she's quite like a big character in Veep. She's brilliant.
Pretty big character.
And it's cool that she wrote and directed this. Again, very rare to see a movie, like a big movie, written and directed by a woman.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's like watching it, like there was lots of genuinely humorous moments. And I was surprised by Kristen Stewart is an actress that I really haven't seen other than in... Snow White and in Twilight, frankly. I don't know if I've seen her in anything
else. Did you ever see Adventureland with Jesse Eisenberg all those years
no.
ago? She's good in that.
So
coming of age movie.
She's really good in this movie. I honestly didn't know. I didn't know that she could have held a movie because, I mean, you haven't seen them, but like the Twilight movies are chronic. Like, and I am not blaming her for that. They're really, really
bad.
Now, I haven't seen them all, but like the combination of her and Robert Pattinson with their like mutual low energy on screen was like... Very difficult to watch, I found. Obviously, there's lots of stands out there.
Two very brilliant actors in modern age who've really, I think, cemented their careers away from
a really big shadow. Yeah, they're not known like for Twilight now as such. But like back then, like I found them really punishing to watch. But they were just really bad movies. But anyway, we're not here to review Twilight. But she totally holds this movie as the star. Like we,
100%.
As the movie, like we'll go to Spoiler Street in a second. So we won't spoil like many of the plots, but like as somebody who is an openly gay woman who's in a relationship, to be forced into a situation where she's watching her partner like hide who she is and is being treated, she's not been introduced to the family as a partner, she's just been introduced as a roommate, so
yeah.
She doesn't get that status of or welcome that a partner would get. And it's really sad to watch. She's there trying to impress the family, but like they don't even know she's the girlfriend, so they don't really care about her. They're just like, oh yeah, she's the roommate who's come to stay for a few days. And,
but
it's funny, there's humor in that, but there's also actually real sadness, and I felt her sadness in that. It was awful. Like I was like, Harper's not a very good girlfriend.
No, and let's get into that more in spoilers because I've so much to say about Harper. But yeah, Kristen Stewart is terrific in this movie and absolutely hangs off
yeah,
her because
it really, it could have been if it was a bad central performance it just mightn't have worked at all.
I was absolutely if you're not with her emotionally then the movie doesn't work, and I was with her every step of the way because I really found her very endearing the way she was put in this impossible situation but absolutely like kind of lead into it and put her chin up, and not only
was
like
so nice about it,
so nice,
I'd be so cross if someone did that to me.
She was trying so hard, trying her best, and making a real effort with Harper's family to, you know, and somebody, and kind of never. It takes so much to break her and her spirits, and eventually, when, well, we'll talk about that in spoilers, but yeah, so absolute hats off to Kristen Stewart and Mackenzie Davis, while playing, I would say, a bit more of an unlikable character as the thing goes on.
But she's very good at like playing that torn because she has bad actions, but she also is sympathetic because you see that she's like hiding her true self, and
yeah.
That's like a really weird situation to be in
100%.
With your family. So I think she was really good at like switching between like at the start the lovey-dovey girlfriend and then the quite callous. Duper. I thought she was good at both of them.
So can we before we kind of get to spoiler street, I'd like to talk a little bit about like where this movie worked for me and where it didn't. And I think to what the points we were just describing, I think this feels like when this movie's working, it's when it's when it's focusing on character and performance. It feels like a really strong script brought to life with very good performances. I believed all these people as characters, and I believed the tensions of their relationship. So it's like big tick on that front. Where it didn't really gel with me, or where the tone felt a bit jarring, was when it was doing the comedy, the madcap sort of incidental situational comedy, the sitcom stuff. So when
the physical stuff didn't really work,
yeah,
did it?
When it becomes Meet the Parents, right? Because it kind of wants to be that madcap, high energy, crazy situations, like. And I won't. Let's talk about some of them in spoiler street. But it doesn't quite land those very well, and it doesn't gel with the quite emotionally complex sort of situation that's being dealt with. It suddenly
feels
silly.
To mix like slapstick
silly.
And emotion is hard, and
yeah,
you don't pull it off.
It doesn't quite work for me. But there is good comedy to be found here, and that's in the character stuff. And I kind of wish the movie had just like left it there without going into sort of oh my god, crazy American
pie. We did
pie
have
stuff.
A laugh though with some of the physical comedy. I did actually laugh at as well though.
Yeah,
I got like. We got a good few laughs out of it, more than I was expecting. It's a zippy hour and a half. I loved sitting down in front of the Christmas tree watching it. Like, it's a genuinely good Christmas movie.
I gotta say, it's one of the few movies I've seen recently where I was like, I want this to be 20 minutes longer.
Yeah, I could have spent more time with them.
More time with these characters.
I think it's really strong, and I think totally recommend it. Like, we rented it online, so you can rent it wherever you rent your movies. And yeah, let's go to spoiler street.
Right, spoilers now for the most forgettable movie title. What is it called?
Happiest Season.
Okay, now that we have seen it, your suspicions were correct. That's a terrible title.
Dave, it's still a terrible title if it's completely unmemorable, regardless of whether
this is true.
I mean, it kind of ties in with the movie in the end that they have a happy Christmas.
Well, it's a bad sign when we're both saying here, we really like this movie, we want to recommend it, but we are unable to recommend it because I cannot tell you what the title of it is.
But yeah, as the movie progressed, like, we kept being like, oh my god, Mackenzie Phillips. Can't remember
Mackenzie
Harper,
Davis.
Sorry, Harper is an awful girlfriend. I felt so sorry because, like, most of us have been in that situation where, like, you're dating someone or you're in love with someone or whatever it is, and you go to meet their family and, like, you really want to make a good impression. Like, I remember the first time I met Dave's family, I really want to make a good impression. And, like, to have just been like, oh, this is my roommate, and then basically made sleep in a basement. And then, I mean, there was kind of this running gag that I didn't quite get and didn't think was very funny, where they kept calling her an orphan. I personally found that a bit strange. That was kind of like the parents who are like, oh, it's her orphan friend.
I thought that was quite funny.
It was
like,
weird.
Like, she was like, no, my parents actually died when I was 19.
And she's like a 30-something-year-old woman.
I enjoyed that they made all these assumptions about her, and they almost wrote their own tragic backstory for her.
And I did
She was this source of sympathy and pity for them.
I thought it was a good plot that the dad was running for mayor, and that's why Harper was like, oh, I can't come out because my dad's running for mayor and there's all the stress in the family. And like, because I think they did need to give us
a bit more of a reason, yeah.
A bit of a reason, because it transpired she had lied to Kristen Stewart about, she had told her in the summer that she'd come out to her parents. And now
that's the first sign of problems in this relationship.
I'm like,
when they're
okay,
on the way there and she's
like, it's
like, P.S.
you're not comfortable telling your family for whatever your personal reasons are.
But communicate
but
that
then
to your
don't
partner.
Tell your partner that you did. And then don't 6 months later, when you're driving back for Christmas, be like, oh, by the way, they don't know I'm gay and they think you're my flatmate. Bye!
But it's actually telling of Harper as a character. And she's deep. We don't get a lot from Harper's perspective, which is why I kind of hated her for three quarters of this movie. Because she's essentially is just a liar, and she's lying to everybody she loves around her.
The only way they humanized Harper, which was interesting, was actually through God, what's his name again? The guy from Schitt's Creek?
Dan Levy.
They actually humanised her only through his words, when he said to Kristen Stewart, like, how did your parents react when you came out? And
great
she
scene.
Said, my parents are really supportive. And he said, well, my dad kicked me out of the house and didn't speak to me for 10 years. So there's my story and there's your story and there's everything in between, and you can't judge her for how she wants to come out. And it's like,
that's a lovely bit of writing.
Yeah, it was a lovely bit of writing. I totally got it. It was totally fair enough. My issue with Harper is that she's lying to her girlfriend and bringing her to the house under false circumstances. Because if she'd been upfront about it, Harper probably, or the girlfriend, Kristen Stewart, probably would have said, do you know what? That's cool, but like, I'm not going to come home with you for Christmas. Because that sounds horrific.
Exactly. And do you know what? But do you know what? That's only issue one with Harper. That's not the issue. Like, throughout this movie, Harper makes the wrong choices about her relationship and is not a good partner throughout.
She treats her so badly.
The way she treats...
If you brought a friend home for Christmas, right? Yes. Not a partner. And you treated your friend like that.
That's what I was going to say. If the situation that she presents to her parents was the actual situation, and this is my roommate, right? So this is actually my roommate, she's my friend, and her parents have died or whatever. She still treated that person badly. Like, I would have treated my roommate much better than the way she treats
her
love of her life.
She leaves her, like, at home alone while she goes out, like, drinking with her friends.
Yeah.
She, like, basically ignores her. She basically is like, oh, I'm gonna go to this party, but I'm gonna leave you standing on your own in the corner of the party all night while I go off with my parents. It's like, what? That's terrible. And
you,
like,
you need to make sure that your the love of your life is kind of,
or even your
okay
casual acquaintance
is having like a good time.
If I vaguely know someone at a party, right, and I can see that they're standing on their own,
I have to go talk.
Like, yeah. I am compelled. I cannot watch someone standing on their own. So to do that to your roommate, never mind your girlfriend, is like, I felt so awful for her. And I think that's where Kristen Stewart was so good in this role, because she plays uncomfortable awkwardness extremely well. And like, she was trying to be engaging and like talk to people, but like, she was just dying, and you could see that she was like, get me out of here. So yeah, really enjoyed all those relationship dynamics. And like, at the end I wanted them not to get together. Like, I wanted Kristen Stewart to be like, look,
same,
I don't care about you coming out or not to your parents, but it's how you treated me. But then
I thought,
what's interesting is that Dan Levy then gave us that coming out speech, and then we were sympathetic with Harper.
Yeah, it contextualizes Harper's character more, and then you get Harper's, you know, her big moment of truth where she does come out,
in a ridiculous scene, by the way. Yeah, that scene was like what you're talking about, of like the silliness of like the slapstick. But again, did kind of like, it did make me laugh.
Oh, the painting and the physical fighting.
Because I did enjoy what Alison, we find out that Alison Brie's, her and her husband are separating, but they haven't felt like they're able to tell the family either. And then you realise it's not at all that the parents are homophobic. It's like, it's that the kids truly think they can't tell their parents anything.
Yeah.
Because the parents are like, basically, like really extreme, like perfectionist, like all about their image, which we do see throughout the movie, because the mom in a funny sequence is always trying to take pictures on like the iPad to put on the Instagram, which is like such a mom thing.
It's a good thematic thing to put
in
Instagram, because you're presenting for a certain version of yourself, which is what the parents are doing.
And they would care, they would be
politics
as pissed off equally that one girl's getting a divorce as another girl's gay, I think.
Yeah.
And then the older sister, like, they basically, the two of them start fighting, which was kind of silly, but then they take the older sister's painting and like smash it over someone's head. And then the older sister, who never really talks, says like, I spent 100 hours working on that painting, and like, you just ruined it.
Yeah.
And then that was,
which
a
was
really
another great
human
character
moment.
Human moment.
Yeah.
And instantly endeared you to a comedic character.
Yeah. It suddenly made her like, not, she'd been the butt of all the jokes, and suddenly it's like she's a real person and she put all this work into something. And then it was kind of interesting like how the parents reacted to both girls' news, because they just kind of left the room. And then you see them have a conversation where Mary Steenburgen says, actually, these are the things I want to do and I haven't done them. And then the only kind of real homophobia we see in the movie then is the dad does get a phone call from like the donor, whoever that person is, I didn't really understand,
but
who would have helped him become mayor. And that person says, is Harper gay? Because if she is, I'd like her to adopt it. Don't ask, don't tell policy.
But what was interesting to me, yeah, I agree with you, there's no real, interestingly, there is no homophobia in the parents, right? It's more that they didn't even realise the effect they were having on their children, in which they can't be authentic or presenting
really
a perfect
dismissive,
outward impression.
Their daughter Alison Brie like gives up her role, her job, to do a different job, and they're literally like horrible about the fact that she's had a career change and completely dismissive. And hilariously she's like, Gwyneth Paltrow wrote about my gift baskets in Goop and I can't make enough, like they're flying off the shelves, and the parents are like, mm-hmm,
whatever,
but you were a lawyer.
It does play into that, you know, the movie does kind of lean into the traditional family values, and this family is trying to present that for political purposes. And I think that's where the donor, in that phone call that the dad has with the donor at the end, even the donor doesn't actually quite present as homophobic, but is allowing homophobia as a or acknowledging it and nurturing it as a sort of a perceived reality to her, to the voter.
Yeah, it's a really interesting. I thought that was a good line. I was glad they included it, and I was glad that we just didn't see the dad's reaction, but he came back in and said, like, "Oh, I'm not getting the funding. It's not going to work out."
It's a good little moment, because it also tells you that the dad had his moment of self-realization and did the right thing, but also didn't make it about him. Do you know what I mean? He didn't come in and say,
"I did this for you."
She said this, and I did this for you. It was just like he did the right thing by his family,
and clearly they don't care, because, like, literally next scene, then Kristen Stewart and Harper are, like, snogging away on the sofa. Nobody cares at all.
It's a bit of a neat bow tie ending,
especially because they had thought that Kristen Stewart was like robbed shops. Like,
no, but they did. But they also just tied off all the loose ends, because the kids came out and said, "Sorry, guys, we did the shoplifting thing." But I'm just like, yeah,
that was the bit that really upset us, when, like, Kristen Stewart was dumped with the two kids that she took off a mine on Christmas Eve in a shopping centre, which would be fucking hell. And then she's basically, the kid drops a necklace in her bag, makes it look like Kristen Stewart, like, robbed it. And then, like, Harper isn't even nice about it, or, like, doesn't really stand up for her or anything. And it's just like, that's when we felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I liked the realisation that the parents didn't kind of care all along, and she, Harper, had been making maybe incorrect assumptions about her family, but equally her assumptions had been sort of true, because that is actually what a donor did. And it was almost like it took this big dramatic moment from both kids combined to, like, make the parents wake up to their own behaviour.
The backdrop was interesting, this backdrop of what, you know, kind of really, like, white, conservative, wealthy family with political ambitions.
Yeah.
And it does present as a sort of, you know, this is sort of the perfect daughters, and she's got a great job, and
well, they were obsessed with her, right? She was their favourite daughter, Harper.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is an interesting view of, America and a lot of sort of Western civilization.
And I think it's, like, a really positive thing, this movie, to, like, to show, like, a same-sex relationship, to show the family accepting of it, to show all of this. It's a really, like, inclusive message, which I think is really cool. And it's also, like, is a funny movie, and I think really elevated by, I think, having Dan Levy in it was, like, star casting.
Yeah, he's very funny as well.
Every scene he was in, like, elevated the movie to, like, next level funny. I think especially because of the success of Schitt's Creek this year, like, people are obsessed with him, and, like, having him in this movie elevates the movie now, I think, like, in terms of, like, people's consciousness. Like, I think it's going to be around a lot longer than maybe it would have been otherwise. So I'm a really big fan of it. I love it, actually. It's not going to be, like, one of my movies of the year. Don't know if I would necessarily watch it again, but when we were watching it, I really loved watching it, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's really strong. And if you've made it this far and didn't watch it, and you're, like, listening to Spoiler Street, then go watch it. I think it is worth, you know, there's moments that I think the comedy does work for the most part, except when it doesn't. And most of all it's genuinely these are genuinely likable and endearing,
and there's some really raw scenes, like, there's a few scenes with Kristen Stewart where I was, like, just devastated for her. She's, like, sitting in a bar on her own because her girlfriend's off flirting with her ex-boyfriend.
Well, I was
pretending she's straight.
I was 100% shipping her and Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Like, I thought halfway through, oh, this movie's interesting, because that's the story. It's there.
No.
It's her finding,
I think,
love through, an unexpected place.
I didn't want her to cheat on her girlfriend with her girlfriend's ex-girlfriend.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't want her to cheat on her girlfriend. I wanted her to dump her girlfriend and go off with the really nice Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, but the movie, it's a Christmas movie, and it's about somebody, like, somebody's family accepting them for who they are. So it probably wasn't going to end with Harper staying in the closet, marrying the ex-boyfriend, and Kristen Stewart going home on her own.
I didn't want that for Harper either. I wanted Harper to have learned her lesson and become the person and a better person. But there's one little thing by the end that kind of Harper says, "You're the love of my life," and all this. I feel like all we saw of in this movie was Harper treating her girlfriend badly.
I don't think Harper deserves her. I want to be like, okay, we did see an epilogue where they seem to be all really happy a year later. What made no sense is that now Dan Levy, who's like Kristen Stewart's friend and maybe the older sister's agent at this point, seems to be at all the family holidays.
Yeah, a year later.
He's at the cinema with them. He's at the Christmas tree with them. It's like, we know you're the star turn of this movie and you're awesome, but you have no place here. But it did seem that everyone was like obscenely happy after this point. So I enjoyed their joy.
I will 100% allow a small C ending a Christmas,
Christmas movie. Yeah. A Christmas rom-com. Yeah. One of the things I had, and I've been getting more and more lately, is like, this is what 2020 like has done to me. I'm watching the movie and I'm like repeatedly like, they're standing too close to each other.
Oh God!
Why don't they have masks on? Like, almost for like a nanosecond, because logically I know this movie was made probably years ago or whatever. But it's like my brain's been trained now to see people up close to each other and like being absolutely freaked out by it.
I know what you mean, and that must be a common experience that you guys are experiencing too.
It's weird. I kept having it, and I was like, "Honey, come on!" But it's almost like I've like been trained.
What's going to be weirder is when we get all the. Whatever movies have been made this year, or TV shows, when they start all coming out next year, and they acknowledge this, do you know what I mean?
So you've got characters. Well, Grey's is COVID now.
Oh, really?
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, I've not watched it yet.
But Coronation Street, and that, and have all caught up.
I think though, if you've made your movie or your TV show in a bubble, particularly if it's like a standalone movie, you could just ignore it all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dying, like, obsessed about seeing the next season of Succession, and will they have COVID in it?
Oh, yeah, good question. Yeah.
When you think of, like, shows that you love, and, like, the only show I'm really waiting for to come back now is Succession, I just can't picture how they would do it. Like, it would not look good in Succession if they're all wearing face masks, like. So I wonder if they'll just bubble. Like, I don't know how they'll do it. And, like, they've already done it successfully with reality TV. Like, it's easier to do reality TV bubbles because there's a lot less like cast and crew and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, totally off topic.
But it also restricts your storytelling as well if you're doing a drama.
Exactly.
Like suddenly you can't have
like
a giant room full of people that are getting fired.
Exactly. Like that was at like the mayor's party, whatever that party was.
Yeah, parties are out. Parties make for great scenes.
So the best scenes in Succession is just when there's like four of them in a room screaming at each other. So that could be the whole season. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe and rate us over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And if you want more episodes, we've got dozens and dozens of film and TV reviews over at patreon.com/thecinema.
Yes. What was the most recent one we did? Air Force One.
Air Force One, yeah, that was fun. And we just did a really big hour-long chat about The Queen's Gambit, which we're obsessed with. Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye everyone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.